our Easter series based on Psalms 118, as you will recall. If you were reading this passage, maybe not on your iPhone because the screen's a little small, but if you were using a full Bible, you might have noticed that these are the preceding verses to the verses that Pastor Sam preached on last week that mentioned that Christ being the stone that the builders rejected and he had become the cornerstone. So these are the preceding verses. You just got to keep that in mind as we go into this message. So this psalm, if Pastor Sam hadn't mentioned it, or maybe you had forgotten, it's a hymnal. It's a song of praise. And most biblical scholars believe that it was for one of the festivals. And based on the way it's written, they think that maybe there was a procession into the temple, because there's this verse right here. Open up to me the gates of righteousness, and I shall enter through them. I'm sorry, I just came to me that some of you guys might not know what a procession is. It's sort of like a parade or a celebration as they enter into the temple. So here in this little chunk we have, if you were to just read it on its own, you might get a picture in your mind, and it might have something like a man entering a temple through a gate into God's presence, meanwhile giving praise and giving thanks to God. So if I told you that there was a gate that goes into God's presence, what would you imagine? Let's take for 1 second and just focus on that phrase, gate of righteousness. What would you guys imagine? Perhaps you imagine the temple in Jerusalem that the Israelites went in to worship and offer their sacrifices to God. Or maybe some of you guys had a spiritual understanding of the phrase. And maybe some people thought the pearly gates. Anyone ever heard about that phrase? The pearly gates? So you guys look confused. There's a passage in the Bible in Revelations that talks about the gates into the new Jerusalem. And it says that the gates are made of pearls. And so over time, people begin to get this idea that there was a gate that enters into God's, to heaven or God's presence. And in front of it would be St. Peter, and he would have the Book of Life. And when you died and you came to heaven, you flipped through the pages. And if your name was written in the Book of Life, he would let you come in. If not, and I'm assuming that you would go to hell. Those are usually the two images that most people think of when they hear the word about the gate into God's presence. But let me just remind you that from last week about the cornerstone, about Christ, that this passage has messianic prophecy in it, that there are messianic overtones in when you read it. So it's not only about what the psalmist was writing at the time. Without going too far into it, there's something called double fulfillment. You don't need to know what that means. It just means that in terms of prophecy, what the psalmist was writing was also meant to be about the coming Savior. And as I was reading this passage, and you don't have to flip there, but I'm just going to read a little bit more from a different passage in the New Testament. As soon as I read this, and I already knew it was about Christ, there was one image that stuck out to me, and I hope that when I read it, that it'll bring back some memories for you guys. As to this gate of righteousness, this is Christ speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He's a little bit further down from the passage. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. John 10, verse 1 through 3 and 9. Let me read that last part again. This is very important for the message today. Christ is speaking about himself. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You see, when we talk about a gate of righteousness today, not during the time of the psalmist, we're not referring to a gate in the temple. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the first AD. That cannot apply to us. And yet we know that God's word is eternal, and what it means to us is as applicable today as it was then. It's just that the things, if you remember, the things in the Old Testament, which may be physical for us, many times are spiritual. So here Christ declares himself to be the gateway into God's presence. However, if you take a look at our original passage, Psalms 118, the psalmist says, the righteous enter this gate. The righteous enter this gate and they give thanks. There's a really common phrase that we throw out there from Romans, and I just want to remind you guys that there is none righteous, no, not one. And I say it's a phrase because we don't take it very seriously anymore. It's become a tired phrase. Not that there's anything wrong with the phrase, because it comes from God's word, but that we've heard so often. We hear it so many times from the pulpit, and even from each other, that it's begun to lose a little bit of its meaning. It's like with your parents. You know, if your parents ever have that one piece of advice that they give you, and they tend to give it to you over, like, it's a favorite thing that they tell you, like, always don't forget your coat. Or, you know, I don't know if you guys, maybe you guys don't receive advice from your parents because you guys are like staring at me pretty blankly. But it's the one thing that if you think that your parents remind you all the time, and eventually you begin to disregard what they say. Why? Because you've heard so much, it's lost its impact. And that's what I believe has happened with this phrase. There's none righteous, no, not one. And even Christ, as talking about righteousness, this is what Christ says. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter heaven. And if you know anything about the Pharisees, they were the cream of the crop in the religious community. They were the most devoted and most dedicated people, you know, to God. I say that with quotes because there's no faith in their actions. But the Pharisees, they prayed the most, they read their Bibles the most, they fasted, they tithed everything that they had. That's what we're competing with. So if you think of for modern day terms, if you think of the best Christian you can think of, I hope you're not thinking of me or Pastor Sam. But if you can think of the best Christian you've known ever, like the radical Christian, the guy who's given up everything and become a missionary in Africa, whatever. But if you can think of that person, they are still, even if they're at the Pharisees' level, even if they are that dedicated, Christ says, unless it exceeds, unless your righteousness exceeds them, surpasses, goes above and beyond, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So how are we supposed to compete with that? In terms of righteousness, how would we be able to obtain such a unattainable level of righteousness? Well, I say it's unattainable for us, but for one man it was not unattainable. Christ, the God-man. And so Christ fulfilled the standard of righteousness through his substitutionary death. He was the Lamb of God led to the slaughter for our sins. And so he died so that we could live, so that the righteous would not be declared righteous by their works or even absence of sin. Not by your works, but not by your absence of sin either. but because of the faith that is credited to you by faith. Righteousness that is credited to you by faith in Christ. So that is how Christ became our salvation. That is how he became the gate of righteousness, which is actually the title of the sermon today. The gate of righteousness. Christ is that gate. He says it himself to us. When you enter into God's presence, you enter by me. You enter through me. So now that we have access to Christ through this gate of righteousness, what does the psalmist say about it? I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. And so when the Christian is able to enter into God's presence, mind you, by Christ, through Christ, there ought to be a sense of thankfulness and a sense of joy. It's easy and even natural, in a sense, for the Christian to have joy and thankfulness in their heart when we enter into God's presence. Whether it was the first time you entered into his presence, the first time you confessed his name to be your Lord and Savior, or every other time when you enter into a Sunday worship service like this, whenever you go into God's presence to read your Bible, whenever you go to pray, whenever you go to a Bible study or a revival meeting or whatever, every time to go into God's presence, there is this thankfulness. Why? Because we remember where we came from. If you remember the first time, try to go back into your memory. And if you can remember the first time you confessed Christ's name, when you first recognized the verse, "There is none righteous, no, not one," and you realize that you had no way of encountering God, of entering his kingdom, of being his son and daughter, except through this gate of righteousness. If you recall that moment, you might recall the supernatural joy that God gave you. And then why is it that we do not have that joy now? Why is it that sometimes worship and coming into God's presence is a drag? We don't want to do it. And when we know that God's presence is there for us, why do we not enter in with joy and thankfulness? It happens to everybody. I won't stand up here and be pretentious about it and say that I never feel like, "God, I don't want to do this today. God, I'm tired." Or, "God, I'm just so broken, God. I have no joy, have no desire to enter into God's presence." And I know for a fact that every person here experiences the same thing. So if we were to drop our masks for just a little bit, understand this fact about our walk, is that sometimes we enter to God's presence, or we choose not even to enter God's presence, and there is a lack of joy, a lack of thankfulness. And yet, here is this passage about the Christ, and it's a very powerful statement to say, "Open up the gates of righteousness, I shall enter through them and give thanks to the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous will enter through it. "And I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You've become my salvation." Those are bold statements there, that God has answered you. And he has not given you salvation, he has become your salvation. So how come it's so hard for the people of God to be happy in God's presence? Is it maybe because we forgot how we entered? If we forgot how we came into God's presence. We forgot that at one time we were denied access based on our sin, our wickedness, based on the fact that we did not reverence our God. We forgot that we entered in through a gate of righteousness. And the gate had, you know, when I say the gate, I refer to Christ. And Christ had to pay the highest price. Not his life, but that his Godhood. To come and to be that gate for us. For us to be able to be declared righteous under him. And to enter into God's presence. Maybe it's because we get focused on what are the things in our life that are not right. The things in our life that are unpleasant. And we forget that Christ has provided everlasting life. Maybe it's because we look around at other people and we see what we don't have. And we forget that Christ gave us the most precious gift. Can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. These are the things that we deal with all the time. And so when we recognize it, it's important for us to reflect and meditate on words such as the one that we read to this morning. We give thanks. Why? Because Christ answered our prayers, he became our salvation. And only by him do we enter into God's presence. And it seems like such a redundant phrase that I bring to you here for us to sit and really reflect. Because you can hear the words that I'm saying, but unless you really dive into it, unless you really sit there and remember the time you were not allowed into God's presence, the time when we were far off from him. Unless you remember how that felt, the hopelessness, the fear, the trepidation of life, you will not be thankful when you enter into God's presence. Recently I came upon, I actually told some of you guys, there was a guy named Noel G. He's a famous actor. If you've seen the movie, maybe Bruce Almighty or Training Day, he's like the typical Latino gangster from Southern California. I wish I could show you a picture of him. But the short story about him is that he had a broken home when he grew up. And that gangster personality he plays on the TV shows and he plays in movies, that's not a persona. That's not pretend. He says it himself in his testimony. He's now a Christian. He says it himself in his testimony that I was that person. He wasn't pretending. In fact, as he was acting, on the side, he was actually committing crimes to get more money. I forget if he was doing robberies or just plain thievery or whatever. But at the same time as he was acting, he was making a lot of money already. But he continued in this gangster lifestyle. And so his testimony, if you ever have a chance, I really encourage you to go and take a look at it yourself. He's pretty well known for, I guess, in the churches in the California area. Because everyone recognizes him as a gangster, but then when he comes up and he speaks, he's this guy who loves God a whole lot. And he's a new Christian. I think he's only been a Christian for about maybe less than 2 years. And he has a story. There's part of his testimony. He goes, he says, there was one time he was in the studio lot, just waiting around, nothing to do, and another guy comes up next to him, and they start having a conversation. And long story short, they became friends. And this is how Noel G. describes this new friend of his. He says, this guy was kind of a loser. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any clothes. He wore the same clothes all the time. This guy was a guy who had no car. And his apartment, this is how Noel G. describes it. His apartment was the size of my bathroom. This guy had nothing. And one time they were sitting down at a diner and they're talking, and I forgot to mention that this guy, the one thing that stands out about him is that he's always happy, always joyful. And so Noji sits down with him and talks to him one time over some food. He says, "You know what, man? Why are you so happy all the time? You don't got nothing to be happy about. You don't have money. You don't have a car. You don't have a nice place to live. You don't have any clothes to wear. You wear the same thing all the time. You have nothing." And this is that guy's response. "No, man, you're wrong. I got everything. I have Christ in my heart." That's what he told him. And that impacted Noel to the point of him actually searching out God. And when you hear about Noel G talk about God today, it's really interesting. When people go on YouTube and you check out his videos, the videos of his testimonies are right next to the videos of his stand-up comedy and all these videos where he's cursing and drinking and doing all these things. They're right next to each other. But when you watch his testimony, he's so joyful. And you know what? The reason why he's so full of joy is because that person before, the one who was not allowed into God's presence, the one who was far off and away from God, that guy is never far from his memory. Because he can clearly see who he was and who God is making him to be. So for us, do we remember who we were? Do we remember how we were before we were allowed into God's presence? Before the gate of righteousness became the way, the truth, and the life for us to be sons and daughters of God? Do you remember? Because if you don't, then worship will continue to be a drag. Bible studies will continue to be a drag. Singing praises and being in God's presence will be a drag if you cannot remember the cost that he paid to become your gate. So, the reason we're doing these sermons is because we're entering into the Easter season. And I don't want to make it to seem to be like that this is the one time a year that we reflect on the cross and on the resurrection. And then we wait till the next year to do this again. But this Easter season, and I hopefully beyond this Easter season, reflect on the cross. Reflect on the price that God paid. Reflect on why he had to pay that price. You know what? God, the Romans didn't crucify Jesus. It wasn't the Jews who crucified Jesus. It was our sin. The necessity for his crucifixion, because there was no other way for us to be with him. Take time this Easter season to reflect. So, let me close with a prayer, and we will try to venture into a short time of reflection and hopefully praise that arises from recognition of the gate of righteousness.